started in here.
There's a show that I like, and I want you to know. Two guys that I trust, and a girl that makes them go. Every day from 6 to 9, they'll tell you things the other shows won't. There ain't no show quite like them. They all suck, but that's just the way it goes.
I swear they won't tease you or tell you no lies. So grab yourself some coffee and enjoy Sam's Top 5. I've searched for a show I can share with my friends. These are the guys making mornings great again. Just this and Drew. And of course Sam too. Justice and Drew. Justice and Drew.
Then I look at you, and the world's alright with me.
Can you dig it?
Just one look at you.
Dig it!
And I know it's gonna be.
Can you dig it?
Twin Cities News Talk AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Good morning and welcome to your Thursday edition of Justice and Drew. My name is Drew. That guy's name is John.
I've had quite a bit of George Michael in my life as of late.
Okay.
I too
enjoy the sports machine every once in a while.
Well, we,
Like, nobody got that reference. I know. Not even Brett.
I have no idea.
It's an old late-night weekend show called George Michael's Sports Machine, and it was just a sports recap show of, what would go on. And
gotcha.
George Michael. So
yeah, I was talking about the Whams.
I know. George Michael. It was dumb. I'm sorry.
No, we purchased the movie Last Christmas, which was a really, really good Christmas movie. We watched it last year, and then it was off the streaming services. I hate that. Like, I'm gonna go watch it again, and it's not on the streaming service anymore.
It's in Plex.
So I went and purchased it. But the whole film is filled with George Michael songs, and so I've been on a George Michael kick.
Nothing wrong with that.
Intro was very appropriate.
We have like 3 George Michael parody intros too.
We have
an abundance of. I don't know why.
I think that's probably. I think that's all my fault. Maybe I'm a bigger George Michael fan than I ever realized before.
I just think it's pure coincidence. I really think. Yeah.
You should name your cat George Michael.
No, I should not.
Omicron.
I'm not naming it Omicron.
You didn't name your cat Omicron. I was glad to see the photos though of your new kitten and that it appeared again.
They were hard to get. The photos were hard to get.
Okay.
They were tricky to get, but boy, that cat is. I've got tiny little scratch marks like all over my hands and feet because the cat apparently thinks I'm a toy.
Oh, okay.
That's it. I'm just a big toy, and it's just climbing all over me, attacking me constantly.
Really? Oh, can I borrow it?
Yeah,
I could use the attention. I could use the animal love right now.
So we're keeping the new kitten confined to our bedroom for the first couple of days. Just let her get, relaxed and used to being in a new place and used to us and all those things, which is tricky at night because I'm trying to sleep and the cat still thinks I'm a toy.
Ah.
So any part of my body that would be exposed out of the covers was immediately attacked.
Gotcha.
All night long.
All right.
Yeah.
Can I borrow it?
Please.
Okay, on the show today.
Just for the overnight.
From the Center of the American Experiment, John Phelan will be joining us coming up at 8:35 this morning, talking about the situation within our hospitals and nurses. We'll dive into that continued controversy. I got an interesting message, by the way. I don't know, in terms of the legitimacy of it. Got an interesting message overnight from somebody on Facebook who said that it makes sense that the hospitals are not, there's no incentive for the hospitals to deal with the staffing shortages because they're making so much money off the COVID patients. And we knew this going back to last year. We documented on the show the amount of money that the hospitals receive from the federal government for every single COVID patient that they get. So it makes sense.
And additional money that hospital systems around the country received with the express purpose of expanding capacity.
Right.
With the express purpose of adding more beds, of adding more capacity. And it doesn't appear that Minnesota has done that. So I wish somebody would ask Darth Malcolm.
Yeah,
where'd that money go? Where'd all that money go?
I hope that the person that wrote me was wrong. I fear that the person that wrote me was right.
Yeah,
and these are decisions being made at the higher levels that you know, maybe even the individuals working at the hospitals aren't even aware of. At 8 o'clock this morning, we may or may not have Mark Meadows. I really don't know at this point in time.
I don't care.
Anymore. So it's just,
my goodness, the journey of trying to book this guy for the show.
Yeah, so
ridiculous.
We have individuals that reach out to us to ask us, hey, would you like these people on, right? And you know, Peter Navarro is an individual we've had on the show a few times. He's got a book out right now. Worked under the Trump administration, and there's certain individuals. Hey, we got this person. Do you want to talk to him? So, but last week we were asked if we wanted to talk with former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows. He's got a new book out, The Chief's Chief, and we were like, yeah, sure. But we were heading into the Thanksgiving holiday, and so there was this sort of delay on when we were going to get him on. And there's just been this exchange of emails, which resulted in yesterday, which is completely hysterical to me, because there was a screw up in the scheduling. It was partly my fault, partly on the booker. Our wires got crossed. So I thought that we were supposed to be having him on today.
Right.
And
called in yesterday,
December 2nd. Well, former White House Chief of Staff under President Donald Trump called in yesterday. At 7 o'clock,
talking to someone else.
While we were on the phone talking with somebody else,
Tiffany.
We were talking with Representative Tom Tiffany, and Brett got the phone call, and you had no idea who this person was.
No,
right. So former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows is on the phone. I'm here for an interview, and Brett's just like, I don't know what you're talking about.
We're not talking to you.
I don't know. This isn't a radio show. I don't know what's going on. I don't know who you call.
It's like, hey, this is Mark calling in. I was like, okay,
good for
Mark.
You, Mark.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. No clue.
How'd you get our hotline number, Mark?
Yeah, I was like, oh, that's weird. Huh.
So we rebooked it for today, but then I wake up this morning and I got an email from the scheduler saying, I don't know if you've seen the news. Well, let's work on getting him on Monday's show. And I'm like, what are you? The only thing that I can think that he's talking about is what broke yesterday. And we can talk about this as we get into what we believe would have been Sam's top five. But there was a story that broke that all the outlets were covering based off of Mark Meadows' new book.
Right.
I don't know why this would have kept him from coming on the show this morning, and we'll give you details of what this story was about, unless it's just the controversy has erupted and therefore he's not doing interviews until this dies down. So we'll tell you what was reported out of his book yesterday and what may have caused Mark Meadows not to be joining us today. But we do have another individual joining us at 7:35 this morning from the RNC, one of their rapid response directors. Tommy Pigott will be joining us to talk about Biden's failed economy and an aspect of it that, all of the different ways that the failed economy can go and negatively impact society, and one of them being charities, something that people don't often think about. And the fact that with less money that people have, there's less money to be able to be given to charities. There's a lot of charities right now as we head into these final weeks of the year that are very, very concerned. They're not going to be able to do the outreach they normally do.
So we'll talk with Tommy Pigott about that right around 7:35. But next, we will get into what we believe would have been Sam's top five for a Thursday.
Not that hard.
Apparently, we'll talk about this a little bit later on. I know Drew's going to want to. Reese's has just launched a university for peanut butter cup fans.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Wait.
Now you got to wait. At your tees. At your tees.
I'm too late. I quit.
No. Drew, Reese's has just launched a university for peanut butter cup fans.
I'm finding it, and I'm going there.
And no critical race theory.
For now.
Yeah.
It won't be long.
Yeah.
Before the grifters figure out a way.
I had to go and open my big fat mouth, didn't I? Yeah. Seriously.
To racialize peanut butter cups.
It is Justice and True, Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. We'll give you an update on Sam. and her her attempt to become Miss Rodeo America in Las Vegas coming up a bit. I think we got a couple of different updates from a couple of different places. I'm looking at something here, but I haven't had a chance to go through it yet.
Good
so
for you, I haven't seen anything.
Oh no, I just the Miss Rodeo Minnesota page, the Facebook page updates quite a bit. So we can get into that a little bit later on.
I got to log onto that cesspool to figure out what's going on.
So as we mentioned earlier, it's been kind of a saga to get Mark Meadows on the show. I'm with Drew at this point in time. Like, whatever.
I don't care.
He's got a book. I feel bad for the guy because selling books is hard. So from that aspect, I'm more than happy to help him out. But when we get him on, if we get him on. But this morning, we were supposed to have him on today after having missed him yesterday. And then I got an email from the scheduler saying, I don't know if you saw the news, but let's work on getting him on Monday's show. The only thing that I can point to, because I went and looked, and we had it in the prep, was news came out from Mark Meadows' book that said former President Donald Trump tested positive for COVID-19 3 days before he went on stage to participate in the first presidential debate against Joe Biden, and around a week before he announced another positive test on Twitter. The White House's former top staff Mark Meadows revealed in his new book, raising fresh questions about the potential safety risks faced by the attendees and participants of Trump's engagements and the first presidential debate in late September last year. But the former president says he never had COVID before the debate. Now, there's a wrinkle in this whole thing. And the wrinkle is, so Mark Meadows, in his upcoming book, said that Trump tested positive for COVID-19 on September 26th. Meadows writes that both candidates were expected to test negative 72 hours prior to the start of the debate, but added that nothing was going to stop Trump from going out there. Trump was reportedly informed about the positive test while he was on board Air Force One on his way to a rally in Middletown, Pennsylvania. However, Meadows notes that some of the concerns were allayed once the sample was retested using a rapid antigen test, which returned a negative result. So like with every story when it comes to Trump.
Yeah.
There's a wrinkle in here. None of the headlines, of course, covering this bothered to mention that until you get deep into the story, that they retested it again and it came back negative. The first presidential debate took place on September 29th. Trump announced his COVID-19 infection on October 2nd and was hospitalized a day later. Trump did decry the reporter's fake news in a statement yesterday morning, saying he never had COVID prior to the debate, noting that, in fact, a test revealed that I did not have COVID prior to the debate.
And in an interview with Newsmax, Meadows said, the president's right, it's fake news. If you actually read the book, the context of it, the story outlined a false positive. He literally had a test. He had two other tests after that that showed he didn't have COVID during the debate. And yet the way that the media wants to spin it is certainly to be as negative about Donald Trump as they possibly can while giving Joe Biden a pass.
Yeah.
And he's right. That's pretty much par for the course these days.
So I think that's the reason why we may not have Mark Meadows on the show today, but who knows? Maybe he will call in anyhow.
We're not sure. Before we jump into what we think would have been Sam's top five, let's see what Matt has to say. Good morning, Matt. Go ahead.
Hey, I was just going to mention, when you guys talked about money not getting spent to build hospital capacity, I believe there's still an old law in the books about that there's a cap on metro hospital beds. So if one hospital adds five new beds, another hospital in the metro has to take away five beds. And I'm fairly certain it's still a current law. And I'm sure that it's probably waived for COVID stuff, but
I would assume so.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that money's for short-term beds, but anything long-term, if that law's still on the books, they wouldn't be able to expand without getting rid of that law.
Okay.
Interesting. Yeah, I hadn't heard anything about that. I have to do a little bit of digging. I've never heard of that.
It was an old law. I want to say in the 70s, because there's an excess amount of beds, and they came in and said, "Well, we got to control the amount of beds. There's too many." I think it's still there. But regardless, there's not enough nurses work, short-term or long-term beds, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, we're going to get into that with an economist from the Center of the American Experiment coming up at 8:35 this morning, John Phelan. That message I got, by the way, here it is that I mentioned earlier. I'll keep the person anonymous. They work in the medical field. This is the real reason why our hospitals are full. There's no incentive to fix the staffing shortages or fix our hospital problem when the hospitals are making bank on COVID patients. It's a disgrace. You know, it would fix the problem, getting rid of the COVID incentive and build a Trump-like field hospital for all COVID patients. You know, I mean, yeah, I mean, that's a positive. It's not going to happen now.
No, it's not going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen now. The dynamic that we're faced with, I think, is the dynamic that we're going to be faced with for the duration of however long, you know, this pandemic continues in the capacity that's continuing now. COVID's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, COVID is going to continue to, we're going to get another variant after Omicron, mm-hmm. right, which will probably be even more infectious but even less deadly, right. You know, and we'll
the more that happens, those variants end up becoming natural immunity,
right?
They become natural vaccines at that point. The more that those that they vary and that they get weaker in terms of how they impact you, but they get more contagious. You know, you're talking about mild cold-like symptoms, mild flu-like symptoms when you get these variants, but they leave you with the antibodies.
Yeah.
So, you know, we shouldn't be freaking out every time we hear about a new variant. There should be a part of us that's like, good. That's a good thing.
And we've got a story that we'll dive into coming up at 7 o'clock this morning. What we talked about is coming to fruition, and that is the definition of being fully vaccinated is going to be shifting soon, and probably including a booster. And there's some clarity in there.
Sure.
There's some clarity in there too. The CDC actually came out and did what I was hoping that somebody would say, and that is, you know, based off of when you got your two shots, when should you get a booster? There's an interesting thing happening though here in Minnesota. And I haven't spent a lot of time on this, but like I mentioned, I was looking into getting a booster because mm-hmm. I got my second dose in March, I believe. And right now, I can't seem to find anywhere to get a booster. Like, I even went to Walgreens yesterday to pick up another prescription, and they even said that they don't even have any. They're not even doing vaccinations right now. So I don't know what's going on in terms of the vaccination, if there's a shortage going on right now or not. But again, we'll get into more of that coming up at 7 o'clock this morning.
Let's jump into what we think would have been Sam's Top 5 for a Thursday.
Number 1.
Ethan Crumley, the 15-year-old suspect accused of opening fire at his Michigan high school, pleaded not guilty yesterday to one count of terrorism causing death, 4 counts of first-degree murder, 7 counts of assault with intent to murder, and 12 counts of possession of a firearm in the commission of a felony. The sophomore, who is being charged as an adult, allegedly fired more than 30 rounds in the hallways of Oxford High School on Tuesday shortly before 1 p.m., killing 4 students and wounding 7 others, including a teacher. Crumbly's parents went to Oxford High School about 2 to 3 hours before the shooting to meet with their son and school officials over behavioral issues in the classroom. Crumbly also had to meet with school officials the day before the shooting over behavior in the classroom that they felt was concerning. Oakland County Prosecutor Karen McDonald noted that the terrorism count is not a typical charge, but she said that it is necessary to get justice for all the victims in this shooting.
Yeah, this was they moved fast. That was the one thing. And I mean, it's not even like no commentary attached to it, just an observation of how quickly they moved in getting him into court and getting him charged. And I guess there's some speculation now that there may be charges coming down on the parents as well.
I saw that, and I need to do a little more reading on to figure out what's going on there.
Yeah, a horrible situation. And of course, we'll have this story at 8 o'clock this morning. The Democrats are already jumping on the push for gun control again. In the wake of this, which is just comical, especially based off of the story that we're going to get to next in Sam's Top 5. Justice and Drew on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, talk a little bit about the metaverse. Also, calls for you, if you're a conservative, to get off of Twitter. We'll share that article with you. Really interesting piece and some very compelling arguments.
Very compelling arguments.
Very compelling arguments to leave Twitter.
I was sold by the headline.
Yeah. And yet, we're still there. So we'll get into it. And I know a little bit more about what the metaverse is. It really is the oasis.
They're trying.
It really is the oasis. Now that I read it, I go, oh, wow, they really are going to do that. And I don't know if they saw the movie. It didn't go very well. So that's all coming up 1 hour from now. Right now, though, we have to get back into what we believe would have been Sam's Top 5 this morning.
Number 2.
Minneapolis reached 90 homicides in 2021 after a fatal shooting in North Minneapolis last night. According to the Minneapolis Police Department information officer Garrett Parton, officers responded to a shot spotter activation at 7:40 at the Winter Gas Station on West Broadway in North Minneapolis. Calls to 911 reported a man down. Upon arriving at the scene, officers found a man with a gunshot wound in the gas station parking lot. They rendered medical aid until he was transported to a nearby hospital where he later died. Early investigation indicates that there was an exchange in the parking lot and gunfire erupted from inside a vehicle and the man fell. The vehicle left very quickly, according to Parton. It's unclear whether the shooter and the victim knew one another. It's tragedy after tragedy, night after night in Minneapolis.
90th homicide this year, but, you know, just keep voting DFL. I'm sure that'll fix things. I'm sure it'll get better.
Well, and again, you know, we'll get into this in the 8 o'clock hour where Democrats are out there pushing for gun control in the wake of this Michigan school shooting, but it all rings hollow. Mm-hmm. It all rings hollow. I mean, even without getting into the gun control argument in and of itself, the fact that you only go and call for gun control when it's politically expedient, when you can grab onto a story like the Michigan school shooting, and yet you simply ignore the deaths that are taking place on the streets of major metropolitan areas around the country. I'm sorry, your words mean nothing to me.
You think all these criminals running around Minneapolis, carjacking people every single day, and involved in the 90 homicides, you think they care whether or not they get their guns legally or not? Yeah. No, of course they don't.
No,
all the gun control measures are simply designed to make it harder for law-abiding citizens to obtain firearms and protect themselves. Yep. That's all they do. They don't do anything to stop criminals from getting their hands on guns. They never do.
Number 3.
Out of the Associated Press, the first U.S. case of COVID Omicron variant was found in California.
Thank you. Above average at that.
Thank you, Brett. That was very appropriate. A person in California who had been vaccinated against COVID-19 became the first in the U.S. to have an identified case of the Omicron variant, according to the White House, as scientists continue to study the risks posed by the new virus strain. Dr. Anthony Fauci told reporters that the person was a traveler who returned from South Africa on November 22nd, tested positive on November 29th. The person was vaccinated, but had not received a booster shot and was experiencing, you ready for this? Mild symptoms.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Above average at that.
My goodness. What are we going to do, guys? Let's all panic.
Yeah.
Lock down. Everybody lock down.
I really.
That's 15 days to flatten the curve.
You know, I really do try to put these comments into perspective, right? I really do. I try to look at it. I try to look at what they're saying, and I try to look at what the news outlets are saying and try to examine it, you know, through a lens of, all right, you know, are we adding on to the panic here? Are they simply giving out the information, you know, or are they really hyping it up? And I'm sorry, they're really hyping it up. You know, when you've got travel restrictions in place, which obviously at this point in time, it's already here. We know that it's here. And they said that last week, that more than likely it was already circulating around. And what we know so far of this, it's funny to me because so far, there hasn't been a single instance of Omicron and anything attached to it being extreme. It's all been mild, apart from the potential that it's more infectious. So, no, they are hyping it up, and they are making this seem a heck of a lot worse. And I think that they would be a lot better off just saying, it seems as if this particular variant, you know, might be able to get through the vaccines. We don't know yet. Vaccines are waning. If you're worried about it because you could get mild symptoms from this, if you've already been vaccinated, then get yourself a booster. It's that simple. But unfortunately, that's not the world we live in because they need to take advantage of it. They have to hype it up. We need travel bans that suddenly now Democrats are fine with, and they have elections to win next year.
Yeah, and people aren't interested in those nuances, at least not the COVID panic crowd, not the people that are sort of still dwelling in the world that was created in the early days of the pandemic and they've never left it. Like they don't want the nuance. They hear Omicron variant and they are immediately afraid.
Yeah.
Another variant, another thing to be afraid of, another thing we have to try to prevent from spreading at all. And at the end of this story, they say officials said they contacted everyone who had close contact with this person, with the carrier of the Omicron in California, and they all had tested negative. So maybe even the line about it being more contagious might be a bunch of bunk. We don't know. There's a lot we don't know about it right now.
Well, it sounds like a lot of it stems from that first initial reporting. And that first initial reporting, there was some details about, you know, it having extra spikes and it was the most mutated one they've seen. But I haven't seen conversation about that or details about that since that initial reporting that broke over the Thanksgiving week.
Number four.
Police say they have identified suspects in three mass grab-and-run thefts on Black Friday at the Best Buy stores in Maplewood, Burnsville, and Blaine.
I didn't hear about the one in Blaine.
I didn't hear about the one in Blaine either. And described the crime spree as a coordinated effort. Maplewood Police Lieutenant Joe Steiner, joined by the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension Superintendent Drew Davis, said officials believe the three incidents were linked. That's what we talked about. Approximately $7,000 in merchandise was stolen from the Maplewood location, including large flat-screen televisions, tablets, and hoverboards. Evan said similar amounts were stolen from two other stores. And again, let's point out the fact that $7,000 in merchandise, you don't get any bail with that. Based off of the changes that were made from the county attorney, it has to be $35,000 worth of stolen merchandise. Through our investigation, we've learned the group responsible for the coordinated thefts in Maplewood were also responsible for the thefts just prior to our incident at the Best Buy in Blaine. The same group, we learned, is also responsible for the mass theft in Burnsville at their Best Buy just after ours. Now, no arrests have been made, but Steiner said the police have identified multiple suspects who live in the Twin Cities. He declined to share the precise number. Police are coordinating efforts and preparing felony theft cases for prosecutors to review next week. Steiner said Best Buy has provided high-definition video surveillance and still images of the suspects, which will be released to the public in coming days. They've also received multiple tips.
Yeah. You know, when you get a group like this, this large, it's going to be really hard for, you know, people to not start to fess up and start to talk about it. You know, not only do you have all the members in the group that committed the felonies, but then you have everybody that they went and bragged to about it afterwards.
Yeah.
You know, so I imagine we'll get some arrests. I probably won't get all, but I also don't think that's going to stop this type of activity until they feel like there's some real teeth behind the arrests. Doesn't matter if you get arrested and you're back out on the streets a couple days later. Who cares?
And 8 o'clock this morning, we'll get to a story where there's some local law enforcement that are saying straight up that if you work for a retail outlet and there's a large crowd that enters your store, call 911
immediately.
Yeah,
don't even waste time.
Yeah, because they're that concerned over this type of behavior continuing.
But you know what'll happen the first time a store does that?
Yeah,
racist.
Racist. How dare you?
Number five.
Board votes to close 6 St. Paul schools over 2 years, moving 2,040 students out of the Pioneer Press. Boy, the St. Paul school district is an absolute dumpster fire. The St. Paul School Board voted last night to close 5 schools next fall and a 6th in 2023, displacing around 2,000 students in an effort to create larger and more well-rounded schools with greater appeal to parents. Good luck.
Okay.
Yeah. A little tip for you guys. I don't think the parents' complaint is that your schools were not large enough. I don't think the parents' main complaint was that your schools weren't well-rounded enough. I think your parents' complaint is that their kids aren't getting educated. I think the parents' complaint might be that kids are committing acts of violence and not facing any discipline.
Yeah.
You know, I think that probably has a lot to do with the parents' complaints. Not that the schools were just a little too small.
Well, and again, it's another example. It's the same mentality we've been talking about across the board of how the Democrats are treating individuals who, you know, who behave poorly. It's been starting in the schools for a long time. They began to water down punishment, trying to get demographics to match up in the schools. You could have 2 students that committed the same infraction, but one will get a lesser punishment solely based off of skin color. You know, and so, and then these individuals grow up and they end up, you know, committing other crimes as well. But it's the same mentality that we see that's contributing to the crime sprees that we're seeing around the Twin Cities.
The consolidation is a response to persistent enrollment declines. Nearly 10% of its K-12 enrollment has dropped out in the last 3 years. But the Pioneer Press says it's due largely to increased charter competition.
Yes.
Look.
Sure. All right.
Sure.
I'll give it to you.
You know, in addition to the schools being dumpster fires that their parents don't want their kids in.
Well, and
in addition to that.
Yeah, and why are they going to charter schools?
Yeah, why is there more charter competition? Why did that pop up out of nowhere? Why was that? Because there was demand for alternatives, because parents want choices. They want options. They don't want to be married to a crappy school just because of their address.
Yeah.
They want options and they want choice.
Rob Dorr, a friend of the show, he tweeted in response to the story of the Best Buy robberies taking place and the fact that the police have identified suspects. He says, at that level, there probably won't be any arrests, just court summons. Yeah, you know, and that's... That was going to be my question was, you know, there weren't arrests.
Please come to court so we can punish you, please.
Yeah. I know you just came into the country illegally and you crossed all this way, but can you please show up at this court date, you know, like 3 months from now?
Right. Next year sometime.
We really would appreciate it if you would go and do that. Well, and, you know, I know they're looking at felony charges, and I hope that is the case, and I hope Rob's wrong. Unfortunately, I think that they're, you know, I don't think the individuals that implemented the policies that is emboldening the criminal element are going to suddenly change their ways. I don't think they're suddenly going to see the light in all of this. I don't think they care.
No, because there's no consequences to them.
No.
I mean, you know, there's no electoral consequences. There's nothing. Why would they?
Yeah.
What incentive is there to?
There's none. Democrats J.C. Abrams has announced, a couple lectures here, has announced a 2022 bid for Georgia governor. Abrams said Wednesday that she's going to run for governor of Georgia, most likely setting up a rematch against Republican Governor Brian Kemp.
I thought she really was governor, though. Yeah. I thought she already was, like, the real governor.
Yeah, that's a big lie.
Oh, well, that's a big lie?
That's a Georgia big lie.
Yeah, she got cheated out of the governorship by voter fraud, right?
That's
what we heard.
That's what
we were
told.
Is she running as a second term?
Yeah.
She is the
running for re-election.
Okay.
Yeah, because, you know, voter fraud, which never, ever happens in the United States, is the only reason she's not the governor.
Yeah.
Did you follow all that?
Also, the Jesse Smollett trial is finally underway. Apparently, Jesse Smollett was allegedly seen on video conducting a dry run of his attack the day before it took place, further leading a credence to the prosecution's claims that he orchestrated the whole thing.
No, in his business, it's just called a rehearsal.
It's
a rehearsal, yeah. Not a dry run.
During the opening arguments on Monday, the special prosecutor Dan Webb told the jury that Smollett was upset that a threatening hate letter that was sent to the studio behind Empire wasn't taken seriously enough. And as a result, Webb is hoping to convince the jury that the actor hired the two brothers to attack him. One potentially damning piece of evidence teased during Webb's opening statements was that there is surveillance video showing Smollett and the two siblings who he worked with on Empire doing a kind of dry run of the attack in the area before it allegedly took place.
Before the fake attack took place, right. They did a rehearsal attack before the fake attack.
The prosecution will allege that the two brothers have already told investigators that they were cut a check for $3,500 after the dry run and given $100 in cash to get supplies to stage the attack at Smollett's behest. The defense attorney says the brothers still attacked him in January because they didn't like him, that the actor, and that the check the actor paid the men was for training so he could prepare for an upcoming music video, not as payment for staging a hate crime. As the prosecutors allege.
Oh, that's his story now?
Yeah.
They beat me up anyway. Come on, man.
Good luck.
Does anybody believe Jesse Smollett's story anymore?
Oh, I'm sure there are people that do.
Okay. I'd love to hear from
you. Yeah, I'm sure there are people that do.
651-989-5855.
Just go into the hashtag TCNT on Twitter, which we're going to tell you about how and why you should get off of it coming up here in just a few minutes. All right, before we do, though, Drew, this one's for you. From Food and Wine, one of my favorite sort of side websites, Food and Wine.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. Not really.
Go there often.
Not really.
Looking for recipes.
I don't even know. I just wrote Food and Wine on here. I don't even know what the website name is. For peanut butter-based candy, the Reese's name reigns supreme, thanks in no small part to their enormously popular peanut butter cups. Now the Hershey-owned brand wants to bring that expertise to the masses, kind of, with the launch of their new Reese's University.
Okay. What will you study there?
Well, Reese's repeatedly cites their own lawyers as saying Reese's University is not a real university, but the concept remains the same, a fictional institution of higher education, albeit one with a real nickname, the Fighting Cuppies. and a mascot with a giant peanut butter cup head. The school also boasts an insanely high 99.99% acceptance rate.
All right.
So, Drew, you're in.
I'm already in. I haven't even applied yet.
Well, to apply for the rolling admission, Reese's says all peanut butter lovers have to do is head to reesesuniversity.com.
I'm already there.
Tell us who you are, why you're awesome, what makes you a true fighting cuppy.
You have to write a cover letter?
Apparently, you have to write an essay.
Yes.
But there is a 99.99% acceptance rate.
Okay. What, yeah, let me in,
once
please.
Once you're in, you'll join the most iconic fan base around, load up on college swag from the Reese's U bookstore, and enjoy a few other surprises along the way. Now, the article goes on to say the whole high concept campaign may sound better suited for an April Fool's Day, since Reese's University's website purposefully blurs the line between fact and fiction, offering photos of campus activities that don't exist because the campus itself doesn't exist. So what is real? Well, in an era where every food brand on the planet is launching their own online shops, it's a safe bet that the Reese's U bookstore will offer a real opportunity to purchase real Reese's U branded gear. It says, check back January 2022 through the bottom of the admissions page. Does tease images of collegiate-themed Reese's gear.
All right. So it's just a cute store. It's a cute way to promote a store.
Store, if you're going to buy,
if you want to buy a Reese's, you want to buy some Reese's swag.
Yeah.
You want to buy, people do. There are people that will.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, do, yeah, you know? I guess, yeah.
Everything's got a fandom these days.
I know. I mean, I would, like, if I was a fan of Kyle Busch, the race car driver, I would wear a Kyle Busch M&M's jacket.
Sure.
You know, I mean, it's a little different. It's his sponsor and all that, but I guess it's not all this dissimilar.
Does Reese's sponsor any drivers?
Not that I'm aware of.
Maybe they should.
Yeah, so I'm trying to, like, yeah, so they sponsored, like, Alex Bowman. I probably would get myself some Alex Bowman Reese's swag.
Sure.
Do you know what you can major in at Reese's U?
Hmm.
Do you know what the available majors are?
Like,
can you major in, like, chocolate mixology or something?
Probably, yeah.
You know?
Take a class on all the things that peanut butter is good with, which the correct answer is everything. There's literally nothing that doesn't taste better when you put peanut butter on it.
Coming up.
Don't at me.
From the Star Tribune, Minnesota denies medical cannabis for anxiety, but adds gummies. We'll give you details on what State Health Commissioner Darth Malcolm said yesterday.
Decreed.
He has decreed.
Yeah, from on high.
And as we mentioned, amid the mandate controversy, fully vaccinated is becoming a very fuzzy term. We'll give you all the details next on Justice.